On this particular Mother's Day, I've chosen to preach on the topic of the hindrances and the helps to biblical communication. Women, I want you in your mind to think of a number between 1 being low and 10 being high that best describes your communication between you and your husband. Then do the same thing about your communication between you and your children. And it might prove interesting that after today's message on your way home, that you want to share with them your number that you had in your mind, and then ask them what number they had in their mind about the communication between one and the other. I'm feeling very confident that most of you women believe that your communication between your family members could be just a little bit improved. Well, hopefully today's message is going to do that very thing. Many of the statistics in the world tell us that poor communication is one of the premier causes for strifes in the home. I have some articles here. The first being Making Marriage Last. Well, in this particular article by the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers, they write down top one for divorce, poor communication. Second, financial problems. Thirdly, a lack of commitment to the marriage. Fourth, a dramatic change in priorities. And then fifth, infidelity. Another article I have here titled Most Frequent Cause of Divorces. This is by Maxwell Payne. He writes this. The following causes below are the most frequent causes of divorce based on statistical data and the most popular reasons cited by those seeking a divorce. It's important to note, he writes, that most of these causes lead to communication problems and distancing of partners, which ultimately decreases the value of the marriage and many times ends in divorce. So what's he list? Well, first of all, he puts finances first. Infidelity second. Sexual dysfunction or lack of sexual relationships. And then finally, major life changes. In other words, this author is saying, whether it's finances, whether it's infidelity, whatever the problem is, it's going to lead to communication problems. But in the next sentence, he writes this. Finances, contrary to public belief, this is, in fact, the most common cause of divorce. Many couples fail to openly discuss financial situations before marriage, such as individuals' debt, spending habits, salary information, and etc. So here he's indicating that a lack of good communication is the key that leads to financial problems. Okay, so what should come first? Financial, sexual problems, or poor communication? And I only can tell you what I've observed in the 40-plus years of counseling I've been doing. It's almost always poor communication. Poor communication leads to so many trials and so many tribulations. This morning, I want us to examine four hindrances to good communication and four helps to good communication. I think this might be the best mother's gift I could give to you and your families in showing you how to biblically be better communicators one with another. And then hopefully it'll lead to you acknowledging and agreeing to take the necessary steps of putting off the four basic hindrances to good communication and putting on the four helps of good communication. We're here in Ephesians chapter 4. That's where I'm beginning. Ephesians chapter 4. And he says in verse 1, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation, of your calling, wherein you're called. He talks about walking with lowliness, humility, meekness, and with patience. All right? Look at chapter 4, verse 17. This I say then, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not, this is the only one written in the negative, walk not as the other Gentiles walk. And then he goes on to talk to you, instead of walking not like that, walk like Christ. And then he says over in chapter 5, verse 2, hey, I want you to walk in love. And the fourth one, down in verse 8 of chapter 5, walk as children of light. And then finally in chapter 15, he says, okay, walk circumspectly. And what Paul is teaching the church at Ephesus is simply this. If they were to walk in such a manner, they would experience the filling of the Spirit. Chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. And with the aspect of being filled with the Spirit, you would have greater understanding of God's will. Now, my focus this morning is going to be on the second walk, described here in verses 17, really down to through 24. In chapter 4, verse 17 and 19, Paul tells his readers that the walk of Christians should not be like the walk of the unsaved, like Gentiles, but rather it should be like Christ's walk. That's going to be found in verses 20 through 24. All right, notice this. First he says, walk not like the Gentiles. In other words, hey, you shouldn't be depraved. Look at verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that henceforth you walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. Don't be depraved. Secondly, look what he says in verse 18. Don't be darkened, having their understanding darkened. Then he says, don't be dead, being alienated from the life of God. And how did this come about? Well, through or by the ignorance that's in them. And the second way is by or because of the blindness of their heart. The mind is contrary to God. Their heart's contrary to God. And they're dead spiritually to God. Depraved, darkened, dead. And then he says, hey, defiled. Verse 19. Who being past feeling, they've given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all kinds of uncleanliness and greediness. Past feeling. Man, they're callous. They've given themselves over to lasciviousness. All right, don't walk like the Gentiles, he says, people. Rather, you're to walk like Christ. And what should a walk of a Christian be? Well, look at verse 20. But you've not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and you've been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, here you go. What? That ye put off concerning the former conversation, former behavior. Put off that old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. What's the second step? Well, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You got to think right if you're going to act right, people. And then he says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Look at your very first purpose on your sheet, if you would please. You know what? I'm going to purpose to put off that old man and put on the new man, which is made in the righteousness and holiness of Jesus Christ. What Paul is about to do now is to put forth five examples of what a Christian should put off, what he should put on, and why he should put it on. Now, four of these, of the five, will reveal hindrances and helps to biblical communication. Let's take a look at the very first one. Verse 25, our first illustration. Wherefore, putting away lying. Okay, so what are you to put off? Lying. I don't know of anything more damaging to a relationship than not being able to believe the other person. And all of us at one time or another had a friend or family member who we just didn't trust. I mean, if they said it was raining outside, you went to the window to look. How close were you with that person? You couldn't be close because you couldn't trust them. A lot of people lie because of fear. They want to keep another from knowing what they really did. Hey, I don't know how that dent got in the car. I don't know how that check bounced. Because of fear, we lie. We seek to keep our mate from knowing what we really think and what we really feel. And for good communication, there must be that openness of knowing, hey, what my mate thinks, what my mate feels. And my mate needs to know what I really think and what I really feel. Without that, there cannot be good and pure and biblical communication. Sure, I want to go, honey. And she's thinking, well, then why all the complaints? I mean, you haven't stopped complaining since we started this thing. Why all? And you tell me you wanted this? Hey, the outfit looks great. And why all the catty remarks being made about it? If you deceive your mate, whether it's by actual words, accent on words, or your actions, then you're not walking according to the new man. You're walking according to the old man. The old man which you should be putting off. Put off the old man. Stop lying. Now, what do you put on? Look what says next in our verse, verse 25. Well, it says, speak every man truth with his neighbor. So what are you to put on? Speaking the truth. Listen to me. Helpful communication will inform another as to what you honestly think and feel about the situation. You can assist others to speak the truth by asking them, well, what did you think when I... How did that make you feel when I draw the truth, try to draw the truth out of your mate? And let me add a P.S. concerning this matter of speaking the truth, okay? The P.S. is found in verse 15, chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 15. What's the P.S.? Here's the P.S. But speaking the truth in love. What's the purpose of that? Well, we can grow up in him, in Jesus, in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And communication. Think about communication in this manner. What I'm about to say, will it edify? Will it build up my mate, my children, my parents? Will it make them better? Let me also mention, you can speak the truth according to the old man, or you can do it according to the new man. Now, the old man, he will speak truth with hateful, hurtful words. New man's going to speak it with very humble and helpful words. You need to speak the truth humbly, meekly, and patiently. That's what we saw back over in our first walk in Ephesians 4:1. Walk worthy of your vocation. Then he tells us, walk with lowliness, walk with humility, walk with meekness, and walk with long-suffering. Walk humbly with your speech, your honest speech. Philippians 2:3 says this, oh, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, in humility, let each esteem other more important than themselves. Does your speech lift up or does it tear down? It says meekly. Galatians 6:1 says it like this. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you see your mate, your children, jumped on by sin from behind, knocked to the ground. I mean, they're being defeated. It says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. Meekness. Is that how your family perceives that you minister unto them, ladies, with meekness? And then patiently. 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul's telling Timothy, he says, I want you to preach the word. I want you to be in season. I want you to be out of season. I want you to reprove, rebuke, exhort. And here's how he says it. I want you to do it with all long suffering. I want you to do it with patience and doctrine, being patiently using the word of God. Listen, you need to minister. You need to speak the truth in love. The old man might say something like this. You know, a baboon could balance a checkbook better than you can. Now, that's going to get you a lot of stars in heaven. And it's probably going to get you even fewer here on earth. Or maybe you could say it like this. Honey, listen, you know, you're not the only one in this household that's bounced a check. I think I can remember. Yeah, it was last year. And I bounced a check for. You know what we need to do? What we need to do is sit down and figure out a way to keep this from happening again. Hey, every Friday night, you know what we're going to do? Let's do the bills all together. We need to practice writing down the information in the checkbook before entering even or writing that check. We need to balance the checkbook as soon as we get the bank statement instead of putting it off. Yeah, honey, these are some things we could do. You see the difference? You know, one wants to help. The other just wants to expose. And most of us feel bad enough when we do something stupid. We don't need to have someone run around and broadcast it to everybody else. What a numbskull we are. So before speaking the truth, ask yourself, will what I'm about to say and the way I'm going to say it help my mate to mature in Christ? Isn't that what it's all about? Unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, why should we put away lying and speak the truth? Well, look what it says here in our verse 25. For we are members one of another. Now imagine your eyes telling you, go ahead, walk. Everything is clear, but there's a tree, and you run into the tree. Face first. That one lie by that one member causes the whole body to be in pain. And this is what you've got to think of. When you are lying to the body, when you're lying to your mate, it's going to cause the whole body to suffer. That's what he's cautioning us about. So he tells us, put off lying, put on speaking the truth, so that we don't harm one another. Look at your purpose. You know what? Based on that, I'm going to put off lying. I'm going to put on speaking the truth. In love, so I can edify my family in love. So he says in verse 25, hey, stop your beguiling. Then he says in verse 26 and 27, stop your bottling. What are we talking about? Well, let's take a look at it. Verse 25, verse 26. Be angry and sin not. All right. Be angry, sin not. A poor communicator will allow anger to become sin. How? By failing to deal with it quickly. He says it like this, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let it go down. Keep short accounts. And we've talked about this on many occasions over the years, about half of us being blower-uppers and the other half being what? Bottler-uppers. And you pretty much know that, yeah, we're all given to one more than the other. You're given more to bottling up or you're given more to blowing up. Now, we'll do both of them at times. But most of the time, we're given to one much more than the other. When you become angry over what others have done to you or even to another, instead of speaking the truth in love, you don't even speak. I was on the phone yesterday with a young man down in Florida, just gotten married, and got a little problem with his mother-in-law. Now, I know none of you have ever had any trouble with your mother-in-laws, but this is must be a strange occurrence. But he has a little problem with his mother-in-law, and he was telling me the scenario. And in the midst of it, and I said, have you talked to her about this? Well, no. It wasn't long before I realized that he was a bottler-upper. He hadn't shared any of this stuff with her. So that's like our first step. Matthew 18, if brother offends you, what do you do? Well, run and tell everybody else about it. No. Says, go to that one's offended you and speak to them. Let them know how they've offended you. That's the aspect of speaking the truth in love, not bottling up. The old man, you know how the old man who's a bottler up, how they deal with these situations? Well, first of all, they do a lot of sulking. There's silence for sure, okay? And there's a lot of separation and scheming. They're thinking, they're conjuring, how can I get even? Now, the new man in Christ, you know how he's going to deal with this situation? Well, first of all, he's going to do some self-examination. Then he's going to seek reconciliation. There'll be a sharing time. He has to share that whole aspect of speaking the truth in love. So you have to put off the stifling and put on sharing. And why should you put off the old man? Why should you put on the new man? Look what the next verse says, verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. You don't realize how bottler-uppers open themselves up to demonic influences. As evidenced by what you start thinking about. Oh, it's pure, right? No, it's not pure. It's vengeful. Romans 12, 19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But many of our thoughts of us who bottle up are plotting and planning, seeking ways of revenge. Unresolved conflicts gives the devil a foothold into our mind. And we must not let that happen. We must go and speak the truth in love before the sun sets. Look at your purpose, please. You know what? I purpose when angry with another to go to the person and speak the truth to them in love before the sun goes down. Now, this next illustration does not deal directly with communication, so we're going to just simply read it and then move on. Verse 28. Let him that stole, okay, put off, steal no more. What are you to put on? Well, but rather let him labor. And may I say this? It does take a lot of labor to be a good communicator. It does not come naturally. It takes work. But anyway, he's saying, okay, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that is good. Why? Well, that he can have to give to him that needeth. But let's look at the next one that deals more specifically with communication. Stop your beguiling, verse 25. Stop your bottling up, verse 26. And now verse 29, stop your blowing up. Let him that, excuse me, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. All right, so what do we command to put off? Corrupt, that's rotten, that's hurtful communication. Watch what you say. Are your words cutting? Are they cruel? Watch the way you say it. No sarcasm. No screaming. No smashing and stomping. Even the world psychologists realize that most of our communication is by nonverbal communication. I've got an article here from it's titled Nonverbal Communication. It comes from the Wikipedia. Here's what it reads. Most social psychologists will tell you that nonverbal communication makes up about two-thirds of all the communication between two people or between a speaker and a group of listeners. Now, in that article, here's what it lists as nonverbal ways of communicating. First, posture. I'm dealing with a situation right now, and they come in my office, and one of them sits in a chair like this. Now you're saying, you're kidding. No, I'm not. What do you think that person is communicating? First of all, they don't care. They don't want to be there, right? There's a lot of communication going on. Not saying a word, but communicating a whole lot. Posture. Clothing. There's a lot of communication. We communicate our culture. We communicate our conscience, our confidence by the way we dress. A lot of communication. Gestures, they mentioned in Wikipedia. Gestures. Again, expressing approval, disapproval. Engagement. No eye contact. None whatsoever. And then there's hygiene. You know, just think about, well, okay, here's my hygiene. What was my hygiene when I was dating my wife or my girlfriend? Then what was my hygiene after I got my wife? You know, did it change? So these are just some of the ways. Years ago, I read we communicate by actual words 7%. Accent on words, in other words, our tone and the emphasis, 38%. And our facial gestures, our expressions, 55%. So you say, well, I said, well, how did you look when you said it? A corrupt Rotten, worthless behavior can be demonstrated both verbally and non-verbally. In our passage here, the emphasis is on what proceeds out of your mouth. So more so it's emphasis here, the actual words. What he says here is put off speaking that which is hurtful. What he says is put on speaking that which is helpful. That makes it very easy, doesn't it? What you say, is it helpful or hurtful? You see, even when you and I got to correct another, they should be able to perceive that the words that we're speaking to them, we're doing so because we want to help them and not hinder them or hurt them. And why? Why should we be putting off hurtful words and putting on helpful words? What does it say here? That we can minister grace unto the hearers. Hey, before you start your conversation, ask yourself a couple of questions. Will what I'm about to say and the way I'm going to say it build them up or tear them down? We're back to that whole aspect of unto the edifying of the body unto itself. Will what I'm about to say and the way I'm going to say it, will it minister? It's the word give grace, loving kindness to my mate. It's one thing to be critical, but it's another thing to be corrective of one another. The old man, I'll tell you, he's critical. New man, he's corrective. And how does the new man correct his mate? He corrects him with humility, meekness, and patience. And why should we put off corrupt speech and put on corrective speech? Notice verse 29 and 30 again. Why? Well, that, in the bottom of verse 29, that it might minister grace to the hearers. That's the first one. What else? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You see, when you and I bottle up, we open ourselves up to evil spirits. But when we blow up, when we just let it all loose, we close ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. Grieve means to cause the sorrow. When we were saved, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, verse 13. Hey, the Holy Spirit resides within us, people. Every time and each time that you and I utter words that are hurtful and harmful, we bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit who abides within us as part of the triune God. Therefore, look at this purpose. You know what? I purpose to put off speaking hurtful words and put on speaking helpful words that I might minister grace to others and grieve not the Holy Spirit. There should not be beguiling in our speech, no bottling, no blowing. Nor should there be any bitterness. What should we be putting off, finally? Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, many believe that out of bitterness flows wrath, which are sudden outbursts. You ever seen that in your mate? Sudden outburst. Mentions anger here. Anger is a disposition that seeks vengeance. You ever saw vengeance? Clamor. That's just crying out against somebody. Evil speaking. That's the word blaspheme, slander. And malice. Just the desire to injure somebody else. All of these, you and I are commanded to put off. Men, we're new men. We're new women. We're new children in the Lord. Now, whereas we should not allow others to provoke us to wrath, neither should we provoke others to wrath. We need to be careful. not to provoke others to become bitter. And we can do so with our attitudes. We can do so with our actions. Now, let me also just mention this about provoking. Now, we know so we can cause others to get bitter and angry and this type of thing. When they perceive that we're not listening to them. You know, there she is. My wife just got some new outfits for the taking on the vacation. So, you know, when they come Amazon, she goes in and puts them on. Then she comes out, right? And she's going to strut her stuff before me and ask me, you know, hey, what do you think? Now, if I just keep on reading the book that I'm reading or watching the program that I'm watching, you think I'll be provoking anybody? Sure. Because I'm saying to them, I am not interested in you. I'm interested in what I'm doing. But humility thinks more of the other than you think of yourself. So, don't be bitter. Put off bitterness. Don't cause others to be bitter. And what are you to put on? If we see what we're to put off here, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, let it be put away. Well, what are we to put on? Well, what's it say? It says, okay, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted and forgiving another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Yes, be kind, be good, be useful one to another. Stop your complaining, stop your criticizing. Begin to care for and comfort others. That's what he's saying. Be tender-hearted. Tender-hearted is also be compassionate. Compassionate. That's what my family think of me. I'm a compassionate mother. I'm a compassionate wife. That should be what they should think. Be forgiving one another. And why should we be putting off bitterness, this aspect of holding a grudge, and put on forgiveness? And forgiving is to give grace, is really what it is. When you forgive, you're giving grace. You're giving grace. And it tells us, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. There's a verse in James 5:9 says this, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. And there's that whole aspect. You know, the way you and I judge, we're going to be judged. If you're critical, chances are you've got someone in your life right now that's very critical towards you because you're going to reap what you've been sowing. We are called on to follow God's example of forgiving. Forgive others, he says, for Christ's sake, that is in Christ. Look at your last purpose for today. You know what? I purpose to put off bitterness, put on being kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, for I want to follow the Lord's example. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is it? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. We need to be putting off that old man. And we need to be putting on the new man. And we saw all the reasons for doing so. 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20, what's our ministry? Our ministry is not reconciliation. Our ministry is our reconciliation, bringing together, not tearing apart. By your communication. You should heal, not hurt. May I encourage you to put off that old man, put on the new man by putting on these four. First, put off these four poor communication habits, and then put on these four good communication habits. Husbands, you children, do you want to give your mother the greatest Mother's Day gift she's ever gotten? Practice godly communication with her. And of course, mothers, you likewise, put off those four hindrances, put on these four helps in promoting good communication in your home. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for your word, Lord, for this admonition of what we ought to be putting off and what we ought to be putting on and why. Lord, help us, I pray, one and all, this week to practice one of these communicating skills, the one perhaps that we need to the most. Lord, as you prompted us by your Spirit, may we just do that very thing this week, with the end result, there would be more harmony in the home. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.